Well, Friday, we had the ordination of now Father Matthew Pearson in the diocese. It's always a glorious occasion. And it happened to also be my anniversary to my ordination of the priesthood, May 27th. The night before, actually, we gathered together. The bishop wanted to go around to all the vicariates. It used to be called deaneries. And because I'm the vicar for Rain, used to be called dean, I hosted it here. And so we had the priests and some of the lady join us. We had a handful from our church. It would be from the leadership team of the Go Make Disciples initiative, the evangelization initiative that we're doing. Anyway, it was a great night. We gathered up in the gym, and you could cut the joy with a knife. And we bishop just wanted to get an earful of what's going on. What's going on in each parish? Because you know, we're in phase two of heading into phase three of our initiative. And phase one was kind of the 12 that gathered. It was likened to that. And so we got our leadership team nice and solid. We shared faith, made plans, amazing leadership team. And phase two then is likened to the 72. And we were to do things that would try to engage people, and for those who engaged the most, you would find, discover the souls that are ready now to do whatever it takes to spread the good news. Now phase three is how do we go out? How do we engage people from here? But we talked about a lot is equipping people. We want to equip them. And you've heard me say before, but I like how you see some Christian religions where they'll go door to door, and they'll just have a quick talk with people when they answer the door, and they'll quote a lot of scripture. I think that's great, but I've always been a proponent of something else. Now, the other thing that, and I was able to share then, our team was, what we're doing here, and I was really proud. Because I think we're equipping ourselves very, very well. And what do I mean by that? Listen, it's been a tough week, hasn't it? We saw the horrific shooting in Texas at the school. And you listen to a lot of the commentators. And I was actually heartened to hear some of them say, there seems to be a spiritual disconnect in our culture right now. And of course, I'm a priest, and I would agree with that, and I pray you do too. You know, what is at the essence? Everybody's trying to say, what's the problem in our culture right now? And some were pointing at that, and I believe that's true. I always look back to our ancestors. I'm old enough that I could see to my parents and grandparents, but in other words, there was an age gone by that they were very connected, it seemed, to God, to His Word, to His love, to the wonder of His presence. I always like to brag that my mom was a daily mass goer, and so was her mom. They went together every Sunday or every day of the week. But there was a strong connection. So then, there was a strong connection to the will of God, to right versus wrong, to good versus evil. I mean, it just came easily to understand what that was. With the disconnect from the divine that's, I believe, plaguing our culture right now, we're losing that sense of right and wrong. You know, it goes all the way back to the garden, doesn't it? This Satan tempted Adam and Eve and said, listen, you be your own gods. You choose what's right and wrong. Satan does that since day one, and he's continuing to do it today. You get disconnected from God, this is what you're left to do, to make it up and decide. And then aren't we seeing good has become evil, and evil has become good, right has become wrong, and wrong has become right. And it's coming in like a torrent, I think, in our times, because I agree with those commentators that we have a spiritual disconnect in our culture. We've been working hard to get very connected. And we've been doing it in, I believe, the best practices way. Okay? I'm a best practices dude. I don't want to beat around the bush. I don't want to mill around. I want to do it the best way. I want to do it your way. Okay? And that's what we've been doing. So beginning back in the summer of 2021, you know, we got together a lot. And we wanted to get very connected to God. And so we took the great advice of many of the saints. Of course, Archbishop Fulton Sheen comes to mind the most. How he advocated for those holy hours of adoration, right? And we offered confession. Now, the confession is the doorway back into God's life. You know, you throw yourself at the feet of Jesus and say, heal me. Grant me your mercy. I want to come home. I want to hearken back. And so the first 40 days of our 90 days, and we use this tool, Peace Through Strength Prayer Journal. And it's actually day 89 of our 90 days today. But I want to hearken back to day 29. I call it the vaccine or the remedy for the plague that we have in our culture, the spiritual plague that we have in our culture right now. I truly believe that it is the remedy for what plagues us right now. And so, in the first 40 days, we actually use the reflections from this book. I love this book. I know I'm one of the authors, but I'm not fit to untie the sandal straps of Father James Altman and Father Bill Peckman, two of my great friends. But we each took turns writing for each of the 40 days. Let Freedom Ring, a 40-day tactical training for freedom from the devil. Basically, we want to know what the devil's trying to do so that it doesn't take us by surprise. So they're not easily manipulated by the devil. So we can say, I know what you're doing, and I'm not going there, right? So on day 29, to me, of all the reflections I wrote, this was the most important one. So important that I actually made cards, like business cards. It has my contact information right there. But I do a little reflection of it right here. And I'm going to get to that in a second. But what was on day 29? It's called acedia. So acedia comes from the Greek. I'm going to share a little bit about with this reflection with you. It comes from the Greek acedia, meaning lack of care. It's a kind of indifference or lack of spiritual energy. Once someone detaches from their call to advance in the spiritual life, they can become satisfied with what St. Thomas calls a mere animal beatitude. In other words, we demote ourselves to mere animals, aimlessly feeding the flesh with all its lusts and wants. Once this fails, and it usually does, we are left to fall into nihilism or even a hatred of being. Think about souls that get to a place where they can shoot at little kids. Nihilism, a hatred of being. For a soul adrift in acedia, and therefore unstable with loss of meaning and purpose in life, he is left to vacillate between reducing himself to just another animal species, or worse, a blight on an otherwise perfect natural world. Is this sounding familiar yet? It should be. It is pervasive. It is a pervasive thought in a world becoming more and more disconnected from God. How did we get here? And how do we get out of this epidemic of acedia in our culture and even in our church? I continue to believe we Catholics deserve much of the blame. Why? This is where I point to a previous reflection I gave on lukewarmness. Recall it was Pope St. Pius V who went so far as to say all the evil in the world is due to lukewarm Catholics. If we are the one true church founded by Jesus Christ, and we are, that we were called to lift the world out of the emptiness of acedia that leads to believing we are mere animals. Yet for more than 40 years, we have been peddling a weak and watered-down religion, a religion that denies the power of God, a religion of activism that seems to abhor a call to advance in the spiritual life. It almost seems like the proponents of this modern-day Catholic religion were and are themselves plagued with acedia. Some even militate against a restoration of sacred beauty and sacred worship. It's too much, they proclaim. People won't like our church if we promote all that sacred stuff. In essence, they are saying, we need to be a church of acedia in order to reach those caught in acedia. And so, the acedia is left to spread like a virus. And so, this is my belief, and I pray it's yours too, acedia or carelessness, what is the cure? And I lay it out in an acronym that means care. So we begin, we come home. We go to confession. Now realize that these gatherings that we've had since last summer have this as the antidote, right? The spiritual vaccine, what I'm talking about right here. We offer confession during those times. I want to come home. I want to be in your arms. I want to do it your way. I want to rediscover again the fulfillment of being a child of God. I want to be a part of your grand plan to build the kingdom of God here on earth. I want to help all of us restore a sense of right versus wrong, a sense of good versus evil. I want to come home. I want to be your light to the world around us, pushing back against the darkness. Truth, beauty, and goodness, pushing back on falsehood, ugly, and crisis, anger, rage. We have to be the antidote. So confession, the C in care, and then the A, adoration. Adoration is such a beautiful gift. We get face to face with our Lord. We make a connection like never before. We begin to understand truly that this is God, body, blood, soul, and divinity of the Eucharist. You're amazing. And so we adore Him. We open ourselves up to receive the first and most necessary gateway gift of the Holy Spirit, a profound sense of awe and wonder, or called fear of the Lord. I love you. I'm afraid of ever offending you. Adoration softens the heart and lets His love penetrate our being. And so we've been doing this when we gathered together since last summer. And then R, Regina, means queen or rosary. Our umbilical cord to Our Lady, getting as close as we possibly can get so that our tender mother, by our invitation, cares for us, nurtures us, pleads for us at the throne of God. God set it up this way. He gave us His mother to be our defense attorney, our advocate before Him. She literally pleads, Father Rick wants this over here. Can you do it for him? Set up that way. It's amazing. The rosary. Hail Mary, Hail Mary. Ma, Ma, Ma. Like a child tugging on his mom's dress. vying for her attention, wanted to love on her. What an amazing gift. Confession C, adoration A, Regina or Rosary R, leads us to the greatest gift ever given, the source and summit of our faith, the most amazing gift we could ever receive, body, blood, soul, and divinity in E, the Eucharist. Do we truly appreciate it? Do we even try when it's not an obligation to go? We go anyway, even though our church isn't making us go. Do we have that kind of love and appreciation for the most holy Eucharist? The greatest, greatest, greatest gift ever given to us. When we get disconnected, we lose our way. We become careless. We begin believing the minions of the devil, the liars out there that are telling us, do whatever you want, feel whatever you want, believe whatever you want, just like the herds of animals in the wilderness, because that's all you are. That's the lie. Boil it all down. That's the lie we're being told. And that's the lie that Satan whispered into the ear of Adam and Eve. Do whatever you want. Make it up. You decide what's right and wrong. If it feels good, do it. You become your own gods. And so, my brothers and sisters, we're disconnected. You aren't, I don't believe. But see, that's what we're doing. Day 89 of our 90 days. We're on day 3 of our ancient Pentecost novena. I pray you're connecting with this. This is your family deciding, no, we're not animals. We are going to take on the best practices of our faith. In this critical time in which we live, we're going to get as connected as we can possibly get, in love as deeply as we can be with our Lord, dedicated as much as we can to putting Him first, His plan, His mission, His will in our lives. Pentecost is next Sunday. And then we head into what one of Satan's minions said, let's have a summer of rage. Not for us. A summer of love. A summer in which we let our light shine as never before. It may be a time where it's needed as never before. We can't save the world, but we can save those around us. That's our mission. We can't do it without love in our hearts, without joy, without, as I said earlier in the week, without dancing like David. Remember, he danced before the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God. This is awesome. Realize too, our 90 days leads up to that, I think one of my favorite mysteries of the Rosary, the Visitation. Mary proceeds in haste. Elizabeth says, how is it the Mother of God has come to me? The baby in Elizabeth's womb, John the Baptist, dances, leaps for joy. They're dancing like David. They're so excited. This is going to be awesome. I like to say a lot, but like little kids say all the time, this is going to be awesome. Let God soften your heart. Let's put confession first in our lives. Let's get to adoration as much as we can. Let's let Our Lady throw her arms around her mantle over us. And let's appreciate the Eucharist like we've never before. This is the antidote to the epidemic of carelessness.
of believing the devil that we're only animals. This is the antidote. We're children of God. We're being sent. This is awesome. Let's dance like like David.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.